and looking forward to what God has for us this evening. And of course, over the last couple of Wednesday nights, kind of entering into 2026, we've had this thought, a longing to see God work. And I've asked this question, and I'd like for you to consider it this evening at the by way of introduction. Is God working in your life? And I begin to think about that. Is there any evidence? Is there something that you can see how God is working in your life? How is God growing you? What is God teaching you? What is He teaching you about Himself? What's He teaching you about you? And what's He teaching you from His Word? And you just begin to see how God is working. How is God using you in the lives of others? We're to invest, intentionally invest in others. And God will use us to be able to share the gospel with folks. God will use us to be able to encourage folks. God will use us to be able to disciple folks, and just begin to think about how God is working. And really, as we examine our lives and we have this idea, this thought, a longing to see God work, I've said this each of the last two Wednesday evenings, I desire to see God work in my life personally. I desire to see God work in your life. I desire to see God work in our church corporately, that God would use us to make a difference in this region where He has placed us in Northern Virginia. And you see all the things that are going on in our world, and I believe that it's obvious that the Lord is coming soon, and we look forward to that. And the days are short. There's much work to be accomplished. There's a world that needs to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we desperately need to see Him do what only He can do. And I want to remind you, we said this last week, but I want to remind you that God has as much power today as He ever has. Amen? He has as much power today as He ever has. When He created the universe, He didn't lose any of His power. When He parted the Red Sea, He didn't lose any of His power. When He provided manna for all those years, He doesn't lose any of His power. He has all power. He is able. And last week, we looked at a portion of Scripture in which the kings were gathered, and we looked at Jehoram and Jehoshaphat and that agreement that was made and how they went to Elisha, and Elisha delivered that message and of putting the digging the trenches and the pits, and that God would give water. And He said this, it was a light thing. It was a light thing. And we kind of focused on that for a few minutes last Wednesday evening and talking about the idea that it's no big deal for God. It was a light thing. And He said, furthermore, God was also going to give them victory there in that endeavor that they were seeking to have victory. As we come to this thought this evening, we're in 2 Kings chapter number 20, and we find that this portion of Scripture begins with an announcement regarding King Hezekiah. Now, before I get into the text, let me just remind you that Hezekiah, like Jehoshaphat last week, we talked about him being basically a good king. Hezekiah is a king in Judah, and he's a good king. And we will see, if you were to study through his life beyond the chapter here, that unfortunately he was given 15 additional years, and he really didn't use those the best way that he could use those. But we do find that he's basically a good king. He was a man that trusted the Lord. And you think about Rabshakeh and Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and how they came against Israel and would take Israel captive, and they came against Judah, and they Rabshakeh, as the general, would come and make all of these threats, and Hezekiah trusted the Lord, and Hezekiah prayed, and Hezekiah believed that God was able, and God delivered, and God gave victory, and God defeated the Assyrians. And we see that Hezekiah had experienced, had lived through seeing God work and do great things. And we come here to 2 Kings chapter number 20, and God will use the prophet Isaiah to deliver a message to Hezekiah. Notice in verse 1 it says, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord." Notice this. "Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." That'll wake you up. Amen? I mean, this is an announcement that the Bible says, that Isaiah says, "Thus saith the Lord." And this announcement, this is given with regard to Hezekiah. He was sick, and God says through the prophet, "Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." the reality, it's not the main focus of the message this evening, but the reality is that for every one of us, at some point, we're going to face death. We obviously pray and hope that the Lord would return during our lifetime, and what a blessing it would be to be raptured out of here. But the reality is that the time of God's return, the rapture, is unknown, and it's imminent. I believe it could happen at any moment, but we don't know when it's going to be. But we know that it's appointed unto man once to die. And the reality is that death is not the worst thing that could happen to us, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And you think about where it says, set thine house in order. Obviously, there were things that when someone dies, there's oftentimes relatives and various things that need to be set in order. And so this would obviously wake up Hezekiah. It would be an announcement that would be quite impactful. I mean, if somebody came to you, not a physician, but if the Lord, this is God speaking through the prophet, you're going to die. And I mean, that's a sobering reality for Hezekiah. But I want you to notice that as we look through this portion of Scripture, and again, a longing to see God work, we notice some things about Hezekiah and about the Lord in these next several verses that are noteworthy, and I hope that they would help us this evening to encourage us and also to challenge us. I want you to notice, first of all, with me, Hezekiah's prayer. Notice in verses 2 through 4, God gives to us the record of Hezekiah's prayer. He receives this word from Isaiah in verse number 1, and it seems as if this happens very quickly, immediate succession, if you will, that in verse number 2 it says, then he turned, that's Hezekiah, then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, after Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, and we'll pick up in verse 5 in just a moment, but I want you to notice, as we consider Hezekiah's prayer, some things about this response, if you will, and I would say this, number one, Hezekiah prayed immediately. He prayed immediately. The Bible says, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying. And when I think about this prayer of Hezekiah, and I think about the truth that he prayed immediately, you know, God wants us to be people of prayer. He wants prayer to be our first response, not a last resort. He wants us to be characterized as people of prayer. And as we begin to examine our own prayer lives, we begin to examine our lives and consider the various things that we face and we deal with in life, the question is, do we respond immediately in prayer? Do we seek the face of God? Do we come before the Lord? You know, it's a great privilege that we have to go directly to the throne of God, that we can have that boldness. I preached about it on Sunday morning with regard to that promise in James 1 in verse number 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And the fact that we have that privilege, that freedom, that opportunity, that we can go directly before the throne of God and we can seek his face, and it's a great privilege for us. I said this on Sunday morning, and I believe it's worth repeating with regard to this portion of Scripture. And I said this, it doesn't trouble God when we ask Him for wisdom. That was the context of the message on Sunday morning from James 1 and verses 5 through 8. It doesn't trouble God. When you pray, when I pray, we're not troubling God. And I said this, what really troubles God is when we don't pray. Because we fail to see what God is able to do. And we find this evening that our God is able, and we find here this evening that he prayed immediately. Not only did he pray immediately, but it would seem as you look at verse number 3, the latter part of the verse, it says, and Hezekiah wept sore. I would say this, not only he prayed immediately, but he prayed fervently. And I think about the truth in James 5 that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And you begin to think about this fervent prayer. And Hezekiah, he wept sore. He speaks before the Lord with regard to his testimony, with his walk before the Lord and his behavior. And praise the Lord that he had that kind of a testimony, that he was a man that did walk with the Lord. But we find that he prays immediately and he prays fervently. And prayer ought to be our first response. And I wonder this evening, sometimes as we consider this idea, we want to see God work. Well, God works as we pray. Amen? And the reality is that God has ordained it in His Word that His hand is moved by the prayers of His people. And so often you can read throughout the Scriptures of God's people praying and what God does and how God shows His power. He delights in answering. He delights in demonstrating. I'll remind you in 2 Chronicles 7 in verse number 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and what? And pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And we find that God gives the responsibility to His people to humble themselves, to pray, to seek His face, to turn from their wicked ways. And we see God's response to the prayer of His people. In fact, even within the context there, we find that Solomon had been dedicating through prayer to the temple. And God says, I've heard your prayer. And what a blessing. And so we find this evening Hezekiah's prayer, but then we see God's promise. In verses 5 through 7, it's so precious. In verse 4, it says, we read it a moment ago, and it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him saying, and so if you can kind of in your mind's eye see what's happening, Isaiah enters in, he speaks to Hezekiah, gives him the announcement according to verse number 1 from the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And then Isaiah departs. He doesn't linger, he's not hanging around, he delivers the message, he departs. And Hezekiah prays. And as Hezekiah is praying and as Isaiah is leaving, the Bible says, afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him saying, verse 5, turn again. And so God is already answering the prayer of Hezekiah, and God is giving a promise in these verses, and He tells Isaiah to return back and to deliver this second message to Hezekiah. Notice, turn again, and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. So we're going to look at verses 5 and 6, and we'll look at verse 7 here in just a moment. We think about God's promises here, and I want you to be reminded of a couple of important truths that we find in verse number 5. Number one is that God hears. God hears. He says this, I have heard thy prayer. I have heard thy prayer. We can ask ourselves the question, when's the last time God heard from us? You ever have some people that you don't hear from for a long time? Maybe you get that call on your phone and you're like, man, I haven't heard from this person for a long time. Maybe you say, I wonder what they want. You know, I'm just trying to be, you know, relevant, help us understand. But the reality is that sometimes we don't. When's the last time God heard from us? I mean, in fervent prayer, that we're truly seeking the face of God. And we find that God says, I have heard thy prayer. The psalmist talks about praying in the morning and the noon and the evening and coming before the presence of God and that God would hear his voice. And I would say to you this evening that God wants to commune with us. He wants us to be in his word. He wants us to pray. And you read in Ephesians 6 about putting on the whole armor of God, but then you get through that text and it talks about prayer and the importance of praying as God's people. And we understand that the enemy fights. I'm not sure in your life, but I know personally in my life, one of the biggest spiritual battles that I have every day is in the matter of prayer. Why does the enemy fight prayer so much? Because prayer is so effective. And he fights prayer. And so we find that Isaiah returns to Hezekiah and he delivers a message from God that first, I have heard thy prayer, that God hears us. But then he says this, I have seen thy tears. God sees us. He knows, he hears, and he sees us. I begin to think about the truth of the interaction that Jesus had there during his earthly ministry, and he's interacting and he's speaking about the way in which the religious leaders would pray and the way in which the religious leaders would fast, and they would pray so that they could get the attention of everyone, and they would fast so that everyone would know, quote unquote, how spiritual they were and all of those things. And we find that the Lord Jesus Christ says, but when you pray, where did he tell them to go? He said, go into your closet, right? And he says that your Father that seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And I'm thankful this evening that we have the assurance that God hears our prayer, that God sees our tears. Listen, maybe you get before the Lord and you're just, I mean, you think about Hannah. I mean, she just poured her heart out before the Lord. I mean, sometimes we got to have that tears flowing again. I preached a message several years ago about the man of God wept. And you begin to think about the prophet and the word that he heard with regard to what was going to happen and how it caused him to weep. And I kind of talked about how we need to weep again. God sees our heart. He sees our tears. He hears us when we pray. And I want you to notice that not only does God hear and God see, but we find that God answers. And really, that's the promise that we find here. There's two aspects of this promise that is given to us here that God delivers through the prophet Isaiah to Hezekiah, because God answers prayer. And he says, number one, in verse number 5, I will heal thee. Isn't that precious? By the way, it's only God that can do that. It's only God that can do that. I will heal thee. But then God goes a step further. He not only says in verse number 5 there, I will heal thee, but he tells him in verse number 6, I will add unto thy days 15 years. I want you to consider just for a moment, because the thought of what's taking place and what's going on in Hezekiah's life, he gets the message that he's going to die, but then God says, I will heal thee. Okay, so I'm going to be healed, but for how long, for what's going on? And then God says, I'm going to give you 15 more years. Again, only God can do that, and God is able to do that, and God makes that promise. And by the way, every promise of God is sure. Amen? We sang last week, Standing on the Promises, and I'm so thankful. On Sunday night, we sang that song, and I'm so thankful for the promises that God has given to us from His Word, and how we need to know those promises, and we need to stand on those promises, knowing that they're absolutely sure. And so here, Hezekiah receives this word from the Lord in response to his prayer. Aren't you, if you think about Hezekiah, don't you think he was kind of happy that he prayed? You know what I'm saying? I mean, what if he hadn't prayed? What happens in your life and my life? Sometimes we don't pray, and then we look around and say, what's going on? Why is there this disaster? Why is there this mess? Why is all there? Maybe we should pray. And I think Hezekiah was pretty happy that he prayed. Amen? He gets a promise of healing, a promise of 15 years. And we find that in verse 7, it says, and Isaiah said, take a lump of figs, and they took and laid it on the boil, and he, Hezekiah, recovered. Now, I want you to notice that we see Hezekiah's prayer, we see God's promise, but as we finish out the text in verses 8 through 11, we're going to note God's power. God's power. I said in the beginning of the message this evening that God has as much power today as He's ever had, and I'm thankful for that truth. And we begin to look here at the message that Hezekiah received with regard to the promise from God, and Hezekiah is going to request a sign. Now, be reminded that the Jews seek for a sign. We find that in 1 Corinthians. Paul makes that clear. And we note here that Hezekiah is going to ask for a sign. It is interesting to note that the request that is made by Hezekiah for a sign is not, God doesn't oppose it. God doesn't get angry with the request that Hezekiah makes. And he makes this request. It reminds me a little bit of what we find there in the book of Judges, as you think about Gideon. And Gideon is given a declaration. God meets him and talks to him about victory. And what does Gideon do? He asks for a sign. And what does God do? Well, God meets him where he is, and God gives him a sign. And Gideon's ready to go, right? No, Gideon asks for another sign. And God doesn't get angry with them. God doesn't get mad at them. God's building his faith. And these men, as we would think about the Old Testament and understand what they had versus what we have, we now have the whole canon of Scripture. We have the Spirit of God that indwells us as believers. And so we don't need the sign. We're not looking for a sign. But contextually, we understand this is the request. And God didn't get angry with them. And we find that Hezekiah says this in verse number 8. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, "What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day?" And notice, Isaiah, according to verse number 9, is going to give these two options. In verse number 9, it says, "And Isaiah said, this sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he hath spoken." And notice, the first option, verse 9, "Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees, or the second option, or go back 10 degrees. So Isaiah gives these options. He makes it clear, this sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he hath spoken. What did God speak? "Well, I will heal thee, and I'm going to add 15 years. And so we find that the option is laid out, and the Bible says that the two options are either the shadow would go forward 10 degrees or the shadow would go backward 10 degrees. Isaiah understood this. Hezekiah understood this. This was something that was very easy for them to be able to relate to and for Hezekiah to be able to process. And the Bible says in verse number 10, and we really get the perspective, and this is where we kind of come for the whole message this evening with this longing to see God work. We see this perspective of Hezekiah, and notice what Hezekiah says. Isaiah gives him two options. Hezekiah answers and says this, "It is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees." It's a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Would you agree? Yeah, in time. I mean, that's natural. That's the normal process. So he says it's a light thing. We saw that phrase last week as we were studying where Elisha says to Jehoshaphat, it's a light thing. It was no problem for God. And so we see here that Hezekiah, as he's processing, he's the one that's requested that there be a sign. And Isaiah gives him the two options. And he says, well, as he's revealing to us his perspective, well, this would be a light thing. This could be just explained away naturally. Does that make sense? Because naturally, what's going to happen is the shadow is going to go forward 10 degrees. Did any of you watch the sunset today? We sat at dinner, and Joseph sat on the one side of our dinner table, and we're getting into the time of, you know, the days are getting a little bit longer, and so we sat down, we eat a little earlier on Wednesdays, and so eating earlier, the days being a little bit longer, he sat down, and the sun was, bam, right in his eye. You know, you just wait just a little while, and guess what's going to happen? The sun's going to go down. It's not going to be right there anymore, right? And we see that. That's natural. So what we're saying this evening is that when you look at this and you understand the perspective that Hezekiah has, he says, well, that could be explained away naturally. It's a light thing. But notice in verse 10, he says, "But let the shadow return backward 10 degrees." Now that's not normal. Amen? That's supernatural. That's something that only God can do. Amen? He's the creator and the sustainer, and only God can do this. And so we begin to see the perspective of Hezekiah, and he's requesting, he's desiring, as he's responding to Isaiah, that I don't want the easy, the natural, though God would do it. We saw that in verse number 9, that it was Isaiah that said, God will do this thing, but he didn't want to have the sign be something that could be explained naturally. He wanted it to be supernatural. And he says, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees, asking God to do something that only God can do. Isaiah couldn't do this. Hezekiah couldn't do this. No wise man in Israel could do this. It was only God that could do this. The Bible says in verse number 11, and Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he, the Lord, brought the shadow 10 degrees backward by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. That's a miracle. That is miraculous that God would do that. And we begin to look at this text of Scripture and we say, okay, so God did it, that God demonstrated once again His power. He had demonstrated His power to Hezekiah more than once. And we find that as Hezekiah now in this particular situation, he cries out to God, he seeks the face of God. And then as the Lord answers that prayer and the Lord gives those options, He says, revealing to us His perspective, I want to see God work. I mentioned this in the very first week that we began studying this little mini-series of a longing to see God work. We started out in Psalm 119. Turn there very quickly, and I want to look at two verses that we looked at that first week. But look at Psalm 119 where we started in verse number 126, and it was really that springboard verse that we used here with regard to this mini-series of a longing to see God work. I want to see God do something in my life, your life, our church in 2026. And here the psalmist says in Psalm 119, 126, it is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. And I love what the psalmist prays. I love the perspective of the psalmist. And again, as I mentioned that very first week, it wasn't a demand. We can't demand that God works. We simply make the request. We simply seek His face. We earnestly and fervently pray, and we desire, we long to see God do what only God can do. There's times in which you can look at relationships in life and there's a problem in a relationship, and sometimes people, I'm going to fix that person. No, let God do what only God can do. And we can look at so many different arenas of life and begin to think about needing to see the Lord work. And obviously in our society, as we continue to live in these perilous days and we see evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse, and we begin to see even just more open sinfulness and wickedness and all that's taking place, and we say, Lord, they've made void thy law. We live in a society that they've just disregarded the truth, the truth that God has given to us. We need to see God work. My fancy arguments and your fancy arguments, they're not going to cut it. We need the power of God. We need what only God can do. I can't change a heart, and neither can you, but God can. Amen? God is able. And the reality is that we can't, that, you know, you might be able to for a little while, you might be able to have some influence over someone and get them to behave and act a certain way, but how much better to have God work in their lives and God do something in and through their lives. And we find that the other text of Scripture that we looked at on that first week, look back at Psalm 109, and I just want to remind you of what the psalmist said in Psalm 109, and we relate it to what we're looking at here this evening with Hezekiah, and he says it's a light thing if the shadow were to go forward 10 degrees, but no, if the shadow were to go backward 10 degrees, that is a supernatural. He doesn't say in the text that it's a hard thing, a difficult thing, a supernatural thing, but he does say that it's a light thing for the shadow to go forward 10 degrees, and he makes the request that it go backward 10 degrees, and I believe that it would not be a stretch for us to understand the perspective and the logic of Hezekiah to say, that's not natural. That requires God. And in Psalm 109, in verse number 27, the Bible says that they may know that this is thy hand, that thou, Lord, hast done it. Let me ask you a question. Was it just Hezekiah and Isaiah that experienced 10 degrees backwards? Nope. Could you imagine being there? What would you think? This is, what's up? Something's weird. What's going on? Right, am I right? Because this is not normal. And God worked, God did something that could only be explained as God did it. And it was a sign, yes, for Hezekiah, confirming the promise that God gave to Hezekiah, yes. But why do we go here? Why is it that the Lord has led me to go to this passage and for us to study this evening this thought with regard to Hezekiah and this historical event? Okay, great, that happened in his life. And so what does that mean for us? Well, let me ask you this evening as we would examine our own lives and we would begin to think about that longing to see God work. First of all, does it encourage you when you see things like this to know the power of God? Because the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so my faith is increased. My faith is growing as I read the scriptures and as God proves his power and he demonstrates his power. Man, that encourages me and that causes me to rejoice not only in what God did for Hezekiah, but understanding that his God is my God. And he's got as much power today as he did then. And then I begin to think about this. What is it in your life and in my life that is kind of the hard thing? I know I'm kind of repeating myself, but I'm trying to bring this package all together. In the very first week, we talked about how that sometimes in our society, and unfortunately even in our churches, we have learned how to manufacture results. There's a time, and we try to be very careful with this, but there are times in which there are very emotional type appeals that are given and people are making emotional decisions. And something that I've learned about emotional decisions is that oftentimes they don't endure. They don't last. Why? Because your emotions are going to change. Your feelings are going to change. It's not based on feeling. When we make decisions, those decisions need to be based upon something that's unchanging, and that's God's word. Not upon my feelings, not upon my emotions. And there are people that have learned how to really work a crowd, if I could use that phraseology, and they've been able to manufacture types of responses and results and so on and so forth. I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for God to work. I'm longing to see God do what only God can do. And that's what we see with Hezekiah. He says to Isaiah, now imagine again, I want a sign. What sign is God going to give me? Well, here's two options. Okay, well, that one's a light thing. Could be explained away naturally. So let's go with this one. Because I know God, and I know God can do that. Isn't that precious? And as we look at our lives, I don't want anyone to tell me. You don't need to tell anyone else. But in your life and in my life, what are we seeking? What are we praying that is something that only God can do? That we're not trying to manipulate and manufacture results and trying to... No. We just can sit back and say, God did it. God did it. There's no other way to explain it. They could not explain the shadow going back 10 degrees except for to simply say, God did it. And I love that. And that's what I want to see God do. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for loving us. We thank you for the privilege of being your children. Thank you for the privilege of prayer. And God, I pray that you would help us to be people of prayer. That God, we would pray immediately. As we see in the text with Hezekiah, that we would pray fervently as we see in the text with Hezekiah. Lord, I pray that you would help us to seek you early. Lord, that you would hear our voice, that we would regularly be in your presence. Thank you for your promises, the reminder that you hear and that you see. Lord, it encourages us, it comforts us. But to see how you gave promises to Hezekiah, Lord, we thank you. For that answer, we thank you for just providing Hezekiah with a timely answer with regard to this situation. And then we see your power. God, how we long to see you work. God, I pray that you would help us as individual believers and corporately as a church to truly long to see you work. God, to see you do the impossible. So that you would receive the glory. I thank you for the opportunity that we have on Wednesday evening to not only study your word, but to pray together, to come together as a church family and to enter into corporate prayer, intercessory prayer. Lord, we thank you for the privilege, and I pray that you would bless the remainder of our time this evening, Lord, that you would be honored and glorified, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Does anyone need a prayer bulletin?